1164, I believe we're at, right?
Yes. Accept recommendations of the Special Appropriations Committee for grant awards for the $650,000 fiscal year 2017-2018 Special Appropriations Fund.
Well, thank you for your patience. It's really kind of disappointing that a lot of people who probably would have been glad to have heard about this whole set of things that we are funding are no longer here, but I'm sure there are people at home who are choosing watching television, and so speak to us and to them, please, to tell about this report.
We'll try our best to. For the record, my name is Craig Haynes, and I'm an analyst in the Office of Management and Finance, Grants Management Division. I'm here with Michelle Rodriguez from the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. I'll be talking about the $1 million Competitive Special Appropriations Fund. As I just mentioned, the total appropriation for this year was $1 million. $350,000 was allocated towards Portland United Against Hate. Michelle would address that, and I would address the remaining awards that were given under the $650,000 appropriation. I also want to add, this is the second year that the Grants Management Division is overseeing the special appropriations process. The committee for the $650,000 allocation, which comprised of a representative from each commissioner's office and one from the mayor's office, reviewed 166 applications, totaling more than $8 million in request for the four different funding categories, which are community-based arts and culture, community health, expanding economic opportunities for Portlanders, and expanding opportunities for youth. Applications were evaluated and scored in the following six categories. Does the application address one or more of the city's measures of success? Does it impact an underrepresented community? Does it address the city's equity goals? Does it have a positive citywide impact? Does it have measurable outcomes? Is the project feasible? Each application was ultimately awarded an overall score out of total of 70 points by each committee member. Using these scores, the committee narrowed down the applications for discussion. There were several instances where the committee thought an organization should be awarded funded, but through a different source, such as the city budget process. As the committee assessed the scalability of the projects, additional information was requested from several applicants. Ultimately, the committee reached consensus on the proposed recommendations. So, of the 166 applications that we received, 17 were awarded funding. Applications were received from organizations that have never received funding from the city, as well as those with historic partnerships with the city. As this is the second year of awarding funds through this method, it was important to allow the committee flexibility as questions and issues arose. With that in mind, the committee suggests the following changes to improve the process and better outline expectations for future appropriations of this nature. Those recommendations are: an organization may only submit one application, cap the amount of funding that can be requested at $50,000. Only organizations providing services within the city would be eligible for funding. Organizations not currently receiving city funds will be given priority consideration and begin the application process earlier in the year to better align with the budget adoption timeline and the start of the city's fiscal year. We hope this group of awardees accurately represent the goals and values of the City of Portland, and we encourage the council to continue with the process in upcoming fiscal years. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Are those recommendations been sent to the mayor?
Yes.
Oh, great, because I think I certainly support them.
Excellent.
And Mr. Rodriguez, you're going to add some more?
Thank you, Commissioners. Again, for the record, my name is Michelle Rodriguez with the Office of Neighborhood Involvement. Thank you, Craig.
You're welcome.
The Portland United Against Hate Project is a community-initiated coalition of community-based organizations, neighborhood associations, concerned communities, and the city working with Office of Neighborhood Involvement, my bureau ONI, to build a rapid response system that combines reporting and tracking of hateful acts and providing the support and protection our communities need in this uncertain era.
So I'm just going to interrupt you because
thank you.
This is not the item about Portland United Against Hate. This is about the other 650.
We just want to add one caveat. We thought since it's about special appropriations that we'd both come up at the same time. I'll give my spiel about the 650 portion, and then Michelle would just talk about the 350 portion.
Okay.
Your items 1164 and items 1166 respectively.
So if the clerk could please read 1166 as well. Is that all right?
Okay.
Did you
yes.
have openings?
I mean, I did have opening.
Let's wait
remarks,
for them. Let's just, so. if you couldn't mind holding
it.
Okay,
and,
no problem.
Our apologies.
Sorry. Yeah. We already did 1165. So that's the end of your report?
That's the end of my report for item 1164.
Any?
Yeah, I have some questions. So how measurable are outcomes for these awardees? I guess that's one of the things that concerns me about special appropriations. I think there's a rigorous process, but I'm not as familiar with what kind of – it does talk about – having measurable outcomes as being one of the criteria.
Yes, it
for
does.
Making an award. So can you just maybe speak at a broad level?
It depends on the individual project. I mean, each project is different. Not all 17 projects are the same. What we have asked grantees to do is every time you submit a request for reimbursement, then you submit a project report as well, so we can see the progress you're making, achieving the goals that you outlined in your application. And that's the measurable outcomes that we're talking about.
So each application does contain measurable outcomes?
Yes, it does.
The committee has discerned that they are, in fact, measurable outcomes?
Yes, yes, and then, they have.
And then when you receive a request for a payment?
Yes.
There's a project?
There's a progress report that goes along with that, so we can see if they're taking steps towards the outcomes they outlined in their respective application.
Okay, and is there a feedback loop so that if you're not getting good progress reports from a grantee that next time around, next year, that grantee may not be considered as favorably?
There's a feedback loop, but we're not waiting until next year to consider them to be non-favorable. We're providing feedback as we are receiving each request for reimbursement and each progress report.
What I'm asking for is will the committee or will you, as the staff person overseeing this report, actually say to us, there's a grantee here that hasn't performed last year, hasn't achieved their measurable outcomes. Here they are this year asking for more money. And, you know, a lot of these are politically popular causes with those of
yes.
us up here and elsewhere, and it's hard for us to say no to them. But if we're going to hold them to measurable outcomes, because this is $1 million of taxpayer money.
It is.
I expect you as staff people, and that includes you, Michelle, to be able to step forward and tell the city council a particular organization hasn't achieved.
I mean, the grants management division has no qualms in saying no to a particular grantee. I mean, we are trying best as we can to have them adhere to the terms and conditions of the individual grant agreements. And one of those terms and conditions are those progress reports. If we in the grants division feel like they are not fulfilling their requirement, then we'll take steps to make sure that they are. And one of those steps might be withholding payment until they can prove to us that they are indeed taking steps towards those measurable outcomes that they mentioned in their respective applications.
Okay. And I guess another issue I just want to flag for all of us up here is your, one of your recommendations is limiting organizations to one application
yes.
per funding cycle. I would like to suggest that the council consider limiting it to one application per funding cycle every other year. Otherwise,
okay.
these are going to become what we used to call the shadow appropriations or serial appropriations, where organizations come to us for one-time funding year after year after year after year
yes.
until we finally break down and say, okay, let's put you into our regular funding cycle just so you'll go away.
I
would like to suggest that we consider that, and I'll actually take responsibility for
okay.
developing recommendation along those lines to say that you can't apply every year, maybe every other year.
I mean, I agree with you, and I think one thing we are looking at is how sustainable is the project? I mean, are you coming back for funding every year, or are you trying to take steps to make sure that your program can continue without asking us for funding every year?
Commissioner Day, any comments?
I support the changes that you're recommending, and I'm also amenable to this idea that requests would be every other year. I mean, it's called special appropriations for a reason.
It is.
Organizations shouldn't see this as an ongoing funding stream.
I agree.
I guess I want to also acknowledge that while I have absolutely no financial stake, and neither do any of my immediate family members, I co-founded one of the organizations that is receiving a grant about 20 years ago and haven't served on their board for 16 years. So I just wanted to, it's called the Independent Publishing Resource Center.
Yes.
Yeah. And I have nothing to do with this decisions, but I just wanted to acknowledge that on the record.
Thanks for disclosing that.
Yeah.
And thank you, colleagues, for your comments. And I agree that there should be a limit on it. Just to refresh everybody's memory, it used to be that organizations with an inn in City Hall would find somebody, one of the council, who was favorable to their organization, and then that council person would try to get at least two other votes within the city budget. I believe this is a much fairer way, that with an open application process, so that we don't then spend taxpayers' money on particular other things that may be important but aren't actually core mission. And I would actually look at adding a criterion how core to the mission of the city council is, not that it has to be, but make the case. Also, I would like to see a report come back to us whenever the grants are done, so that, as Commissioner Saltzman was saying, have they done what they said they were going to do? What are the good outcomes that have happened? So I'd request maybe a community presentation at council, because when great things are being done with relatively small amounts of money, it's always a good to know about them and to congratulate those who've achieved so much.
I agree.
Thank you. Then does anybody want to testify on this issue? You could take a seat, Will.
All right, thank you.
Good morning still.
Good morning. My name is Lightning. I represent Lightning Super Watchdog X, Independent Publication. I'd like her to recuse herself from the vote. I don't think you have enough votes to do this today. I think it's an absolute conflict of interest. If she votes, I think there needs to be a complaint filed today. Moving on, I think it's great that the people are receiving grant money. I don't have anything against any of your organizations and the goals and the missions that you're trying to accomplish. So I want to make that very clear. One issue I do have is on being equitable. When you have 160 applications and $8 million they're requesting, of course, some people are going to be left out in organizations. Now, I did notice from 1164 back to 1166, you funded African Youth and Community Organization for $27,800 on the 1164, and then you went back to 1166, and you also funded the same organization. Now, again, I'm not looking at the organizations through a lens. I think you're outstanding. I have no issues there. I'm looking at this strictly from an equitable, allowing other people to participate when you're talking 160 applications. So, again, that is my only dispute. I don't have any other dispute in that direction. Again, on the $50,000 cap, I do agree with. In my opinion, I would like to see, and again, it's nothing against the groups, I always feel comfortable on having the auditors audit. I would like to see the auditors come in and audit these grants, and again, their progress. I feel comfortable have that independent style audits done. And again, these are special appropriations. Again, as Commissioner Saltzman stated, $1 million plus here. I'm just asking, and you can do an amendment on this, is to have the auditors audit this and have them just do a quick review and go over everything, look at the progress reports, and then do an analysis. And I don't wouldn't even mind if it just went to the commissioners. That would be fine. I don't need to see that. I'm just saying audit, look at it, provide the report to the commissioners. I don't even need it from the public. So again, absolutely agree on the direction the groups are going. Keep up the good work, and I'm glad to see you get this funding. Thank you.
And Mr. Lightning, the auditor has made it very clear that she is independent, so she doesn't take direction from the council about what to audit and what not to. So you could take that up with her directly.
Well, you could make an amendment, and I'm sure she'd be glad as the auditor to audit this.
We're not allowed to ask her to do that kind of thing.
Thank you for your time.
Seeing no more testimony, this is a report, so I need a motion to approve.
So moved.
I'll second it.
Thank you. Please call the roll.
You daily.
So just to clarify, I have no financial interest in the Independent Publishing Resource Center, nor have I ever, so that is actually not a conflict of interest. And moving on, as we learned in the report, 2017 was the second year of using a formal grant process to allocate these special appropriation funds. And with that new structure, we were pleased to see more momentum and interest in the funds. We had over 160 applications, which is more than double last year. So I'm excited to see who applies as we move forward. There was a wide array of submissions from Fresh Out, who focuses on direct services to the formerly incarcerated, to the Boys and Girls Club of Portland Metro, who advocates for our region's youth. And, of course, we would have loved to fund every ask. Getting to the final award list was a challenging job for city staff to review, score, and discuss each application and narrow down the applicant pool to match our available special appropriation dollars. With that, I want to give thanks to those on the committee, from my team, Pollyanne Burge, from the other commissioners' offices, and I also want to thank Craig Haynes, Sheila Craig, and Melissa Cochran from the Office of Management for overseeing the process. Of course, Michelle Rodriguez from ONI. It was a huge effort in a short period of time. We're very pleased to be able to support such great work in our community. Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think the use of the Special Appropriations Committee, which we've done now for the past 2 years, is a vast improvement over the way we used to do business here in terms of awarding money sort of as a commissioner really has a pet project or a pet organization. So having a committee process and getting it out of our hands and all the pressures that we're subject to as elected officials is much better. And I really do want to just reiterate, though, that we need to be wary of turning this into a shadow appropriation process that we've labored hard and long to get away from. And that I do want to make sure that we are continuing to monitor the outcomes of the organizations and the progress. But good work both to Office of Neighborhood Involvement, Office of Management and Finance. I also want to recognize Tia Williams and of my office for her participation in this process as well. Aye.
Fritz.
I think we have consensus on the council. This is a good way to do things. So that's really showing that Mayor Hales' choice doing this 2 years ago is something that's going to endure. So thank you to both of my colleagues and the two that are not able to be here today. Thanks to Christina Nieves on my staff for being my representative. We're going to rotate it so we always have somebody fresh on the committee and so that I can continue to say well back while the committee does their work. Since Commissioner Udaly declared her particular fondness for Independent Publishing Resource Centre from 20-some years ago, some of the we like all of these community organisations, but some of the ones that I've attended events for are the African Youth and Community Organisation, the Autism Society of Oregon, Bradley Angle, Dress for Success, POIC, and Rosewood Initiatives, and the Vanport Mosaic. And then some of these I have not even heard of at all. So I'm really excited to get that report next year to learn more about all of the good things going on in our community and where a little bit of funding by taxpayers can really bring a lot of benefits for our community. So I'm happy to support it. We do have a request for $350,000 in the fall bump to add back the money that is now going to the Portland United Against Hate. So I expect to hear from the committee their recommendations about whether they're going to reopen the process, choose from those who didn't get it, give more money to some that did get it. But of course, that all has to wait until we vote on the full budget monitoring process. So with this, I'm happy to vote aye.